there is a specific moment in time that our spiritual journey begins. This is a moment where we can feel undone, where we can feel gut punched. But it's also a moment where everything seems to become clear and the direction of our lives is forever changed. In today's episode, I am going to describe such a moment that leads to a true spiritual journey. Let's get to it.
Welcome to the Attracting Lasting Love podcast, presented by CoachingWithRoy.com. You've found the place where single adults come for mindful wisdom and insight into how to attract and create healthy, lasting, conscious relationships. And now, here's your host, the owner of CoachingWithRoy.com, number one best-selling author, certified relationship coach, and TV analyst, Roy Biancalana.
Well, hello again, and welcome to another edition of the Attracting Lasting Love podcast. My name is Roy Biancalana, and I'm excited today to continue our current series, which I have titled The Path of Spiritual Awakening, or The Path of Enlightenment, or The Path of Realization, or The Path of Waking Up. Whatever phrase you want to use, we are taking a little detour from our normal conversation about attracting a healthy, sustainable relationship. And we are talking more about kind of our relationship to ourselves, if you can put it that way. What I really want to do in this series is kind of talk about and discover who we truly are, to take a look at what is our true spiritual identity. Like, who really are we? And in that question, you know, comes sort of the backdoor innuendo that we might possibly not know who we are, that we might have a case of spiritual mistaken identity, or maybe even we could call it spiritual amnesia. That is, by the way, what every great spiritual teacher has said, from Buddha to Michael Singer, is that we have a type of illusion about who we are. We have forgotten who we are. We don't recognize who we are, that we believe that we are something that we aren't. And so that's kind of what I want to do in this series. Again, a little detour from our normal conversation and wanting to go a little deeper into a spiritual conversation. So today is part two of a five-part series. And in the first part of the series, last week, all I really wanted to do was define what I mean by spiritual awakening or enlightenment. Because, as you know, that term has a lot of baggage with it. It's really misunderstood. There's a lot of misrepresentation and misunderstanding, and frankly, there's a lot of negativity around the whole thing and what it means to be enlightened and the sort of lifestyle that people think you are then going to lead, or what it's going to require of you, or something like that. So I wanted to spend the first week just kind of clearing away some of the misconceptions and just come up with the simplest, most accurate definition I could, which was that all enlightenment means, or spiritual awakening means, is to see clearly. That's all it means. It just means to see reality, to see what's true, to see what's real, to just see clearly. So I use that sort of that analogy, or maybe it's a metaphor, I'm not sure. But I use the idea of imagine being in a completely pitch black dark room, just completely no light whatsoever. And you know, feel what that might be like, right? It would be a little scary, right? And because you can't see anything, you don't know where you're going, you don't know what's in front of you. You could fall into a hole, you could bump your head against something, you could stub your toe, right? So if you're in a completely dark room, it's a little scary and it could be a little dangerous because you could create some suffering for yourself because you bump into things, right? But then I said, just imagine being in this completely dark room with a bunch of other people who also can't see anything. They're a little scared and they're bumping into stuff, including you. So now everybody's scared. Everybody's bumping into each other, kind of hurting each other. And I just made the point, as cynical as it sounds, but if you kind of open your eyes and you see clearly, you're like, that's not a bad metaphor for what we are doing as humans on this planet. It's like we're walking around in the dark and we're bumping into each other and we're hurting each other and they're suffering and everybody's kind of scared. Okay? So I said, furthermore, imagine being in this room and all of a sudden, you know, stumbling upon a light switch. And you flip the switch on. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, wow, shit. Now I can see everything. And immediately, it's not so scary anymore. Because I see what's going on. I see where everybody is. I see where all the obstacles are. And so there's no suffering really anymore because I'm not going to bump into things that I can't see, right? So when the light comes on, it isn't so scary and there isn't the suffering. And that's what it means to be enlightened. It doesn't mean you shave your head and wear goofy robes and say namaste and act like a weirdo. No, it just means you actually see what the hell's going on. You recognize, you realize what's actually happening. And it turns out that when that happens, you're not so scared anymore. And you don't suffer much at all, if at all. So that's all I did in the first part, was to try to just paint that quick picture. Now, today, we are going to talk about the moment your spiritual journey begins. There really is a defined starting point. There is a moment in time when you start on the spiritual path. It's not something that we all do naturally. It's not something that we're all on and, you know, one day you decide to take something more serious. No, there's a moment in time when your spiritual journey begins. And so I liken it to the idea, to use another metaphor, when we talk about a journey, just imagine, you know, taking a trail, a mountain trail, and the trail leads to the summit, okay? So we could say the summit is enlightenment or spiritual awakening. But there is a trailhead. There is a place where the trail starts. And then you have the trail, the path, and then it goes to the summit. So in today's episode, I am describing sort of where the trailhead is, what the starting point is to your spiritual journey. Now, let me talk just very briefly about, there are a number of things that people can and could say are the beginning points of their spiritual journey. You know, for instance, someone could say, you know, when I was a little boy or girl, you know, my parents took me to a church or a synagogue or a mosque, and that's where my spiritual journey began. Like, okay, maybe. All right, I'll grant you that. Or someone might say, you know, I picked up a book one day, and it just hit me. Something shifted in me. Or I listened to someone giving a talk, or I saw a video of someone teaching something, and that's when I sort of, my eyes opened a little bit and something shifted in me. Other people might say, you know what? It was the day my first child was born. I looked in that little baby's eyes and something happened in me. Something deeply transformative happened when I looked in the process of seeing my first child being born, right? Or someone might say, you know, it was in nature, right? I was out in nature and I just saw this sunset and something happened. Or I saw this mountain range, you know, this vista of snow-covered mountains, and something happened in me, okay? So I could probably name a dozen more examples of where people think the spiritual journey could begin or did begin for them. And I'm not dismissing any of those things as being powerful things that can make a deep impact on us and shift us. But I'm sort of going to maintain that that is not the truest, deepest, most profound starting point of a spiritual journey. I am going to maintain that no matter who you are, where you're from, what you've been through, when you've lived, that there is a particular and universal moment where your spiritual journey actually begins. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because if we're interested at all in spiritual awakening and really experiencing a life where fear nearly disappears and suffering nearly disappears, if not completely, then we got to make sure we get on the right path. And we got to make sure that we experience the trailhead, that we really identify the moment our spiritual journey begins, because that is when it all happens. So that's what I'm getting at today. Now, before we get going toward that, I want to ask you, you need some courage for what we're about to talk about here. You need some courage and some curiosity. You need the courage to kind of look at yourself honestly, to do some real self-awareness, to possibly maybe admit some things to yourself and about yourself that you would kind of rather not, okay? Because we're going to be confronted with some things that are not going to be pretty. When you really get on a spiritual path, the first thing that happens is you get confronted by things that are not so pretty. You have to face some realities about yourself. And so you need some courage to say, okay, I'm willing to look in the mirror. I'm willing to face whatever the truth is about me. Okay, so I sort of need that. And then I really need, or I want to invite you to have the curiosity to wonder and to really think it through for yourself and ask yourself questions. And in other words, I wish that we could be having this conversation where you and I are just sitting in a little restaurant somewhere. It's just me and you. You know, we're having a cup of coffee or tea or whatever, and we're really having a heart-to-heart conversation about what's really going on inside both of us. Like the real truth. Like we're not playing games and, you know, we're not like, you know how it is on Facebook. People call it fake book. Everybody on Facebook looks all happy and they're all wonderful and they don't have any problems and everything's this or that. You know, that's how social media is, right? It's kind of a false universe of people acting certain ways. And if, you know, we all sort of know if we actually think about it, that it's bullshit, that people's lives are not always great, not everybody's always happy, and everything's always going well, and everything's going my way, right? So that's what I mean. Like, I want to have a conversation with you where we don't play that silly game, where we just kind of say, now here's the reality, okay? Even I don't like to talk about it or face it, much less want to tell you, Roy, right? And vice versa, because I'm going to get into some things today where I'm going to become more personal than I ever have in any of my podcasts to tell you about the starting point of my spiritual journey, because that's already happened. I've not reached the summit. Like I said last week, I am not enlightened. But I'm well past the starting point of my spiritual journey. I'm somewhere in the middle of the beginning point and the summit, okay? And so I'm going to be telling you about my experience. So I'm not going to be asking you to be honest with yourself, to look at yourself in the mirror and tell the truth about your experience without me setting the tone. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I'm not doing right here on this podcast. Okay? All right. So if you're with me, if you're on board on that, okay, let's go here. And I want to start by asking you a couple of questions. Okay? I'm going to walk you through a couple of questions, and then I'm going to turn it around and I'm going to ask myself those same questions and answer them. And the whole idea is going to be, can you answer the questions sort of in the example that I am setting by the way I'm answering them? Okay? Does that make sense? I'm going to ask you questions, and then I'm going to say, okay, well, I'll ask myself them, and I'm going to answer them. And the whole idea is, can you match me? Can you turn around and say, oh, okay, now how I've seen you answer the questions, Roy, well, here's how I would answer them. Bing, 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 bing. Okay? So let's get started. The first question is, what is it that you want? Okay? And I'm not asking what is it you want in some temporary, you know, in this moment kind of thing. Like, what have you been after in your life? Like, what do you really want? You know what I mean? Like, big picture. What are you after? So I could say, kind of, what has your life been about? What have you been pursuing or desiring or seeking? Okay? Like, for your life in general, in a big picture kind of way, what have you been hoping for, longing for, dreaming of? Okay? I might put it this way. What have you been really wanting to attract or manifest or create or achieve? What, when you get honest with yourself, deep down, what has been your goal, your real life goal? Okay? Perhaps some things are bubbling up in you right now, these big picture themes that you have been after. But let me give you some categories here. So when you answer the question, what is it you want? It might be something like, well, I've wanted to become something. I've just wanted to become a doctor or a lawyer or a writer or a spouse or a golfer, right? But in addition to something like that, you might recognize that really what I've always wanted is something more on like an emotional level, more of a kind of, I guess I could say, a psychological level, meaning, you know what I've always really wanted? I've wanted to be noticed, or I've wanted to be respected or valued, right? I've always wanted to be wanted or admired or loved or thought to be special or I've always wanted to be felt of to be worthy or good enough or valuable or something like that. Do you follow me? So what you want, it could be something with your career that you wanted. You want to become something or do something with your life. Fine. But it also might be something a little bit more on that kind of the emotional interior side of what I just described. Or it could be, I've always wanted to make money. I've wanted to make a lot of money. Or I've really wanted to be beautiful. I've just always been concerned and sort of devoted to my beauty, health, fitness, looking my best, appearing my best, presenting myself best. Or you might say, you know, I've kind of wanted to be famous in some way. Like we have all these social media influencers, you know, they want to have a lot of followers, lots of likes, and, you know, have a platform of some kind. Or maybe there's some sort of position or status or something, you know, that would summarize what you've kind of always wanted. Now, of course, people listening to this podcast would at least in part answer that question as, I've always wanted to be in a great relationship. I've always wanted a partner. I've always wanted to be, you know, really connected with someone in a really healthy way. Absolutely. But what I don't want you to limit it to that, right? I mean, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast if that wasn't a major thing that you want for your life, correct? And that's been true of me too. I mean, one of the reasons why I talk about this subject is because I've been pretty obsessed with my love life and finding a partner in my life. And part of what I do and why I'm a coach is because of all the things I've learned, you know, from my own pursuit of intimacy. Okay. But there have been more things that when I ask that question of myself, what do I want? There are more things that pop up, and they are for you too. So I don't want you just to limit it to your love life. Like, what else are you after? What else has your life been about? And I just gave you a bunch of things to think about. Okay? So put that on hold for a second. However you answer those questions, you know, what is it that I'm really after? What is it for me? What do I want? The next question is, why? Simply, why do you want that? What's the reason? Sounds like a simple question. And maybe it is. In fact, there might have already been a quick reason that popped in your head as to why you want what you want. So let's just deal with that intimate relationship thing. I want an intimate relationship. Well, why do you want to find a partner? And why do you want an intimate relationship? Well, because I want the companionship. I want to be able to live my life and enjoy my life and do things and have a partner in the whole process. Or that, and I want a family. You know, I want someone who's in my life that kind of supports me and encourages me, is there for me, and I'm a support and an encouragement and a presence for them, right? That's why I want an intimate relationship. And you might say, well, for me, what I've always wanted is to be noticed or to be seen or to be wanted. And you might say, well, yeah, because, you know, I'm a nice person and I feel like I deserve to be, you know, noticed and treated with respect. And okay, fine. But I'm going to suggest, and this is where I need you to have the courage and maybe the curiosity, I'm going to suggest that those are surface reasons. I'm not saying they're not true. What I'm saying is they're not the real reason. Whatever it is you want, the surface answers, while they may be true to a degree, they're not the real reason you want it. So that's my next question. What's the real reason you want what you want? And by asking that question, I am suggesting that there is a reason you want what you want that you're not aware of. Or if you are, you don't even want to admit it. You don't even want to entertain it. You don't even really want to go there because it seems a little scary. It seems a little ugly, maybe. It seems a little, I wouldn't even know what to do with it if I was going to admit it. So what's the real reason you want a life partner? I'm suggesting it's not just for some companionship. There's something deeper going on. What's the real reason you've always wanted to make a lot of money? It's not so that you can have the freedom to go where you want and, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, paying your bills and you have the freedom to travel. No, it ain't. That ain't the real reason you want money. What's the real reason you want to be beautiful? Well, because I'm pretty and I like to, you know, present myself in the best possible way, and it's appropriate to try to be healthy and fit. And no, that ain't the real reason you want to be beautiful. Why do you want to have all the followers online and have a platform and I want to be, you know, an influencer and I want everyone to see me and, you know, follow my Instagram and all of that? Well, it's because I have content or information that can inspire people and can help people. I mean, no, it ain't. That's not the real reason. Not the real reason. I'm not saying that's not true at all. I'm just saying there's a deeper reason. There's a real reason we want what we want, and that is what it means to begin to see clearly. I'm beginning to see what I'm really up to. I'm beginning to see what is really driving me, what is really making me tick. See, there's no way that we can get on a path to discover who we truly are if we don't first look at who we believe ourselves to be and kind of what we're currently up to. Okay? We got to start, I guess you could say, in the negative category and really look at who am I believing myself to be? What's the real reason? What's really motivating? What's really driving me? What's really behind whatever it is I'm pursuing, whether it's intimacy or God? Like, what's the real reason you want to know God? Well, because God's real, because, you know, it's heaven and hell. That's a pretty big deal. Nope. I'm going to suggest to you that your interest in God or enlightenment itself is not for those altruistic reasons. There's a real reason you're interested in God or enlightenment. And we got to get at the reality. We can't discover who we really are. We can't live really honest lives if we don't really surface kind of what's really going on. So let me get real personal with you about this, okay? So how would I answer these questions? And, you know, what is it that I want? Yes, my life from an early age, I've been obsessed with women, okay? I mean, from about the age of puberty, man, as soon as I recognized that, ooh, boys and girls are different, you know, I have been, you know, after women. I have made girls a big focus point of my life. I've wanted to connect with them. I've wanted to date them. I've wanted to have sex with them. I've wanted them to like me. I've wanted to be in relationships, right? So you can look at my life now. My life is still about relationships. Look at what I'm doing as a podcast and writing books about relationships. And so there's that whole thing. I call it, you know, I'll just put it a general category of girls, okay? But also, I've always wanted to be successful at golf. Golf has been a huge part of my life since the age of 12. About when I started to recognize that women existed in the world was the moment I found golf. And I've loved it. And I've always, it's always been a big part of my life. It still is to this day, even though I'm, by the time you're listening to this, I'm 64 years old. Okay? So that's another one. But then there was, God has always been a huge part of my life since about my early teenage years. In fact, I don't know if I've ever said this before, but in the early 90s, I started a church with a friend of mine in St. Louis. So I started a church and I was the pastor. I was a preacher for about 7 years in the early 90s. So my whole life has been about golf, God, and girls. Okay? That's the phrase that I use. I have my three G's. And that's what I'm hoping you do also, is you get a theme in your life. That's why I was encouraging you. Don't make it just about intimate relationships. What else has your life been about? Because what I'm going to get at here is you want whatever it is you want them all for the same reason. See, for me, it was golf, God, girls. And on the surface, you could ask me, so Roy, why? What's the reason that you wanted golf? Well, I love to compete. I love the game. It's challenging. It's difficult. You know, and I'm good at it. So, that's the reason I have been, you know, wanting and pursuing golf. And then, Roy, what's the reason you've been pursuing God? Well, because, oh my gosh, it's the ultimate reality. There's this heaven, hell thing. It's kind of a big deal, don't you think? And maybe I should be trying to help people find one place and avoid the other. Okay. So that's the reason I was really interested in God. And then, Roy, why are you interested in girls? Well, you know, I'm heterosexual, you know, and girls are nice and they're fun, and I just always wanted to be close to them and just have a relationship and for the companionship and someone to enjoy life with and all that. Okay? And I'm not saying that all the reasons I just gave for my interest in golf, God, and girls is all complete bullshit. What I'm here to tell you is it ain't the real reason I wanted those things. It ain't. It's not even close to the real reason. If you ask me, Roy, what's the real reason you're interested in golf, God, and girls? What I would tell you, and this is what I've seen as I've introspected over the years of my life, is that the real reason, and it applies to all three, is that I have always been wanting to be seen as special. I've always wanted to be seen as outstanding, to be noticed that I'm special. Okay? So let me show you how this works. Yes, I like golf and I like to compete, but it was a way of me being seen as special because I was good at golf from a very early age. My father saw me differently when I was good at golf. People around me said, wow, Roy, man, he's a stick. Wow, you know, even in high school, word got around. You know, because I wasn't in my high school, you know, our football team was state champions at the highest level. So all my friends were state champions and football players, okay? And I didn't play football. I didn't like to hit people or get hit, okay? I was a lover, not a fighter. I didn't feel special. Those guys, my friends on the football team were special, but I had my thing. I had my thing. In fact, I was better at my thing than they were at theirs. Okay. So the real reason that I've pursued golf is because it was an opportunity to make myself feel special, to be seen. Same with God. You say, how? I says, well, you know, I got on the PGA Tour in the late 80s, 90s, and I actually quit the PGA Tour and went to start a church. Because this is part of the story here. When I pursued golf, okay, to make me feel special, I finally did get on tour, but I didn't play good at all. I was at the bottom of the pack, week in and week out. In my mind, even though I was on the tour, I was a failure. So golf, although it promised to make me feel special, in the end, it didn't deliver. It really didn't. I didn't feel special. But then because I was a Christian and I was into all that stuff all those years, I heard about a program that was being offered by the largest church in the country at that time, a church called Willow Creek Community Church in South Barrington, Illinois. And what they were doing, they were the largest church in the country. They were very different. They did church kind of a different, more up-to-date, modern kind of way with, you know, with more modern music and drama, and they really were doing church in an exciting, different way. And they wanted to train 12 people to learn how to do church the way they were doing it. They wanted to train them directly and send them out all around the country to create these big, giant mega churches like theirs. And so I was chosen. I left golf, and I was chosen to be one of those 12. Out of a whole nationwide search, I was chosen to be someone they wanted to train to go out and start a big mega church. So at the time, I thought I just wanted to serve God. At the time, I was like, yeah, I'm playing golf on the tour. You know, I'm not playing very well, but that's not really a problem. I want to use my life for something really significant. That's what I was telling myself. The fact of the matter was, which I saw later, my eyes opened later, was that golf wasn't delivering my need to feel special. And this, man, this would do it. I'm the biggest church in the country, the most high-profile church in the country. They're choosing 12 people to train, and I'm one of them. Oh, now I feel special. Do you see it? So it was not about my wanting to serve God. That's what I thought. It wasn't true. What was really driving me was this need to be seen, this need to be special. And so I got trained. I moved to St. Louis with a friend of mine. We started this church, and after 7 years, it was 200 people. Nothing. Failure. It wasn't going anywhere. So God didn't deliver either. Or the real reason I was interested in God didn't make me feel special. So I still got to feel special. I still have this inner feeling of I want to be seen because I felt invisible. I felt like I was kind of unworthy. So I was on this pursuit to feel special, to be good at something, right? To be seen, to be outstanding. So what's left? Girls. You know what can make me feel special? I'm going to get some really hot chicks to want to be with me. The more beautiful, the better. Because the more beautiful they are, the more it makes me feel special. It makes me feel outstanding. Wow, if she wants to be with me, right? If she wants to give me her attention and her affection, it's like, oh, wow, that'll do it. And of course, I found some very beautiful women, and it didn't do it. So that's my story. Golf, God, and girls. Everything that I've been after and been pursuing in my life, everything, if I get honest, has been about my real attempt to feel special, to be seen as special. That's really what I've been after. What I've been pursuing is not golf, God, or girls. It was actually, I've been pursuing the feeling of people seeing me as special. And then all of those surface things started to make sense to me. Right? When I began to see this, what I was really motivated by, it's like, oh, well, no wonder why I left golf when I wasn't playing good. Oh, no wonder why I bailed out on the church when it wasn't doing so good. Oh, no wonder why I'd bail out on a girl, you know, if she wasn't thinking I was all that. Because what I've really been after is to feel special. Okay? What I want you to do is, can you summarize your life like that? Can you look at the things that you have wanted from an intimate relationship to anything else that you came up with? I am telling you, they're all connected. They're all the same. Underneath all of them has been the same motivation, the same drive, the same need. It's all been there. That's what I'm at. Can you Can you tell your story the way I just told mine? As simply as I just said it. Roy, what's your life been about? Golf, God, and girls. What's the real reason you've been after all those things? Because I've just wanted to be seen as special. And those were opportunities to meet that need. Boom. That's what my life has been about. That is seeing yourself clearly. Now, can you see yourself clearly like that? Now, what I want to do very quickly here is I want to walk you through something I learned from Michael Singer, that this understanding, this teaching is what led me to be able to see it like this, right? So I'm kind of going at this backwards. It was like when I heard this teaching, these five points I'm going to share with you, that's when everything came into focus. It's like once I heard him teach us something, like, oh my God, that is exactly, gives kind of an explanation to my life and what I've really been up to. And I really saw it. Okay? So very quickly, let me walk you through this. The first principle that Michael Singer talks about, and I just call this understanding the human condition, because I'm maintaining that we all do this, okay? Every single human being is doing what I just explained that I'm doing, okay? Some people don't see it, some do, but it's there. The first one, Michael Singer points out playfully, says, okay, so you exist in there, don't you? If I were to say to you, hello, are you in there? You would say, yep, Roy, I'm here. I'm hearing you. I'm right. You know? So you know you're a conscious, aware being. You're in there. Okay? So you exist in there. But then the next question is, how you doing in there? Like how you doing in there? And this is where it starts to get a little sticky. Because when people ask us, so how are you? How are you, Roy? What's happening today? I'm fine. I'm okay. Good. Can't complain. Okay. Right. We all know that's bullshit. Okay. Because the second principle Michael Singer talks about, if you get honest, you're going to see it. He's like, okay, first, you exist in there. Second, you're not okay in there. You're not okay in there. Like, if you're honest, something's always bothering you. Okay. Now, when I say you're not okay in there, I don't mean that you're an absolute dysfunctional mess or that you're suicidal. No, I mean in a much more general way, in a much more way that we almost don't even notice that we're not okay in there. So, for instance, do you ever experience loneliness or feel disconnected or separate? Do you ever feel anxious or insecure? And I thought, that's what I mean by I'm not okay in here. So you're like, oh, Roy, if you mean, do I feel insecure and anxious, you know, if you're calling that not being okay in here, then I'm not okay in here because I do feel those things at times. Maybe not every minute of every day, but... And that is exactly what I'm talking about with this not okay feeling that we have going on at the core of our being, if we're honest. So let me ask you some more things. Do you ever experience self-doubt, self-criticism? Right? Who doesn't? Right? That's what I mean by you're not okay in there. Like, so something's usually bothering you, isn't it? Aren't you frequently worried or frustrated about something? Aren't you kind of wondering about what this person is doing and what's going to happen and why did that happen this way? Like, it's sometimes difficult to notice sort of that constant inner turmoil because it's always there. We sort of get so used to it, we don't notice it anymore. Right? I often think if we ever had even a couple of minutes of absolute wide open bliss and peace, complete openness just for a second. And then we came back to our normal lives. We would say, oh my God, well, now I can compare it against something. So once I felt this absolute bliss and peace and openness, oh, well, if you're saying I'm not okay in here, well, now I know what you mean. No, okay, so no, I'm in here and it's not okay in here because something is usually bothering me or frustrating me. Like, don't you have a voice in your head that's always yapping at you about something? It's always like, well, what if that happens? And why did they do it that way? Are you ever going to meet someone? Why did they say that to me? They looked at me funny. I wonder if they're mad at me. Did I do something wrong? Did I forget? Did I leave my keys in my car? Isn't that what's going on inside your head? Like there's this constant noise? Well, that's what Michael Singer, and that's what I'm talking about when I say, how you doing in there? I'm not okay. There's a lot of stuff going on in here. So don't you ever have bad memories? Does your mind ever give you worst case scenarios? Don't you have that voice in your head telling you you're not worthy, you're not good enough, nobody notices you, you're unloved, you're abandoned, nobody understands you, you're disrespected? Can you relate to that? I have to hammer that point home, because if you don't see that you're not okay in there, then the lights are just turned off. You just don't see it yet. So I kind of want to keep asking these questions and trying to define what I mean by this not okay feeling, in hopes that you eventually hear some phrase and say, oh, well, yeah, okay, so yeah, I guess I've got a not okay feeling in there. Because the ego doesn't want to admit any of this. The ego doesn't want to admit that it's, quote, got any problems, or that it's a mess in there, or that something's always bothering me, that voice in the head's always yapping at me, keeping me up at night. I don't sleep very well. Sometimes I'm worried about something. I'm mulling something over. I'm worried about my job. I met this new person. I don't know what they're doing. They didn't text me for a couple of hours, and I'm really wondering, why didn't they text me? Like, what's going on? Did I turn them off? Or how come my girlfriend isn't calling me? I thought we were friends. Now she seems to be ghosting me, right? That is so normal to be going on inside of you that we often don't notice it. But that is what I'm talking about when I say, how you doing in there? What's it like to be you? And if we're honest, you say, well, what's it like to be me? I mean, sometimes I have moments where I'm really okay, right? But usually, no, there's usually something going on in here that I'd have to put in the column of, no, it doesn't feel okay in here. All right? So the third principle, okay? And the reason why I just hammered that second one, first, you exist in there. Second, you're not okay in there. The third principle, and this is, it's going to sound like I'm overstating it. Your life purpose is to fix that not okay feeling. Really. Like, it's like, whether you know it or not, everything that you have been doing, everything you've been hoping for, dreaming of, wanting, pursuing, every decision you make, every choice you make, it's all about, is it going to fix this not okay feeling of mine? Is it going to make it feel better in here? Like, some of us really wrestle with making decisions. You have two things. Oh, do I do this? Do I do that? I can't really decide. It's kind of hard. I do pros and cons. I don't really know, right? You've experienced that type of thing, trying to make decisions. If you get underneath it, what you're actually deciding is, which one of them is going to make me feel better on the inside? Which decision is going to end up fixing my not okay feeling? That's really what you're doing when you're trying to make decisions between things. Do you see it? So your whole life, your life purpose, I could say, is about fixing that not okay feeling. It's a graphic way to see this. But just imagine your hands on a hot stove. And in that moment, Your life purpose is to get your damn hand off that stove. I mean, nothing else matters. Nothing else is crossing your mind. Nothing else is important to you. You're not interested in anything else. Your entire world is, this is uncomfortable, this hurts, this is intolerable, and I've got to do something about it. That is the teaching. That it's so, that not okay feeling, it's so intolerable that something's got to be done about it. So for me, the not okay feeling is I feel undesirable, unworthy, unseen. That's like my hand is on a hot stove my whole life. I got to do something about that. I can't live with that pain. And parenthetically, do you know where addictions come from? They come from, I have this not okay feeling. I can't make it go away, so I'm going to numb it. I'm going to drink. I'm going to smoke. I'm going to get high. I'm going to be addicted to porn, to shopping, to gambling, you name it. It's a way of distracting myself from this not okay feeling that I can't fix. So if I can't fix it, I'm going to give myself my version of Novocaine. So maybe for a while I don't feel it. That's why people are addicted to things. Their addiction is their way of dealing with a not okay feeling. And we know that doesn't work either. But my life purpose was about, I got to get seen. This is uncomfortable. This is intolerable. I feel invisible. I feel unworthy. I need to feel special. So golf. Well, golf didn't quite do it. God. Well, okay. God didn't quite do it. Girls. Okay. And so that's what I was doing. All those things were my strategies for fixing my not okay feeling. Now, this is the Attracting Lasting Love podcast. And so I don't know what else you put on your list of what you want, but I know one of them is finding a life partner, right? Now follow this. Your primary strategy for fixing your not okay feeling is finding a partner. That's the real reason you want a partner. It's not for companionship or to have a family or don't even try that. Look deeply and you're going to see that you believe finding your ideal partner is how you get your hand off the stove. I got an uncomfortable feeling in here. Let's just take, you have an abandonment wound. You've always felt unwanted or disconnected or just unloved. Okay? You're gonna think, because the world tells you, that the way you fix that is find a partner who wants you and loves you, and that will fix it. Does that make sense? So your theme of your life that you developed in the first part of this podcast, you're going to be able to see that no matter what you were talking about, your career, your love life, money, health, fitness, that it's all coming to the root trunk of the tree, which is I have a not okay feeling at the core of my being. And all these things are simply my strategy for fixing it, including a life partner. Now, you've heard me sort of talk about how I don't like or don't advise people to have a list of qualities they want in a partner. Are you starting to see why? What is your list really saying? Your list is describing the way a person has to be, the qualifications they need, the characteristics you think they have to have in order to do their job, which is to fix your not okay feeling. So you don't want just any partner. You need a specific kind of partner, a partner that embodies certain qualities that you think, oh, if I'm with a person like that, then I'm not going to feel abandoned anymore. Right? Then I'm going to feel seen, or whatever it might be. So your list is your not okay feeling speaking. Your list is being made from your pain, from your trauma. Do you see it? Do you see why, if you make a list, you're playing in to this whole nightmare that you're actually thinking that I've got something uncomfortable inside of me, and if I find the right partner, they're going to fill the void, or they are going to fix the problem, or they are going to finish the story that I've never been wanted, or they're going to help me find an identity. That was my thing with girls. Man, if I'm with a beautiful woman, man, I'm somebody. I'm somebody special. Wow, that guy must have something going on to be with a girl like that. See? So a woman helped me find my identity. Made me feel special. Somebody special. Do you see it? Now, this isn't very pretty to face. It really isn't. And I'm not saying any of it's wrong. It's not wrong. It's just what we do. We're in there. It's not okay in there. So I got to make it be okay in here. And what are my strategies to do it? Your mind comes online and says, well, Roy, if you can be really great at golf, you'll finally, you know, feel worthy. Or Roy, if you can be really outstanding with God and get a bunch of people to sit in the seats and come every Sunday to hear what you have to say, wow, then you're going to finally feel like you're special, like you're seen. Oh, Roy, well, if that doesn't work, then if you can get some beautiful women that are really wanting to be with you and give them their attention and affection, wow. Do you see it? All I'm saying is that's normal. There's nothing wrong with it. You're doing it too. The challenge for you is, can you describe yourself like this? Because if you can't, your spiritual journey isn't going to go anywhere. All right? Now, this whole podcast has been about talking about the moment of your spiritual journey begins, and we're right at the edge of the trailhead. The moment your spiritual journey begins is when you see all of this, all the things that you have been doing, and then you recognize Michael Singer's fifth point as true, which is your strategy won't work. Oh my God. You mean everything that I have been doing or been told to do to fix this not okay feeling isn't going to work? Correct. It won't work. Getting great at golf won't do it. Trying to be great for God won't do it. Getting a great woman won't do it, Roy. Do you see it? You've tried, haven't you? Did it do it? Because you were pretty great in all those things, to be honest with you. Not tooting my own horn, but I was pretty great at all those things. And I'm telling you, it didn't do it. So the moment your spiritual journey begins is when you recognize that all the wells you've been going to for water are dry. That all the things you've been wanting and the reason you've been wanting it won't work. It's not that they're wrong. It's just they don't work. So in my book, I use this analogy of like, it's like trying to paint your house with a hammer. Okay, it's like, it's not wrong. I mean, you could try to use a hammer to paint your house. It's just not going to work. It's going to be really frustrating and really exhausting and really disappointing. Is that not your love life? Exhausting, frustrating, disappointing. You know why? Because you are using partners to do something like I'm using a hammer to paint my house. A partner is not made for the purpose that you're using them. No partner can fix the inside of you. Just like a hammer, you can't paint a house with a hammer. The hammer's fine. If the hammer's used for what it's supposed to be used for, then it's great. But if you try to use a hammer for something it's not been built for, you're fucked. And so we are trying to use a life partner to fix our not okay feeling, and they're not made for that. That is not the purpose of a relationship. The purpose of a relationship is not to heal your emotional wounds or to meet your emotional needs. That's not the job of your partner. They can't do it even if they try. So the moment you see that everything I've been doing to basically feel happy doesn't work, you have this dark night of the soul moment. You have this, holy fuck, like everything I've been trying, it doesn't work. Your version of golf, God, and girls, it doesn't work. It's not bad. It's not wrong. But it just is not going to fix your not okay feeling. Your spiritual journey begins when you recognize that everything I've been doing doesn't work. And you're left with this thought. Now what? Those are the two words that begin your spiritual journey. Now what? Meaning, well, I've had this not okay feeling. My whole life has been about fixing it. And my strategies, one of them has been to find a life partner. Now I'm starting to see, well, there's no way a partner is going to fix my abandonment wound. There's no way a woman can give me enough attention and affection to make me feel special. There's just no way. She's not built for that. And she wouldn't even want to try if she's a healthy woman. That's not my job. So the minute that I see that it doesn't work, I sort of let go of all that. Okay, all the wells are dry. But now what? Because the not okay feeling is still there. Okay, just because I know golf, God, and girls won't fix it, the feeling is still there. I still feel like I'm unworthy, I'm invisible, I still want to be seen as special. So if nothing on the outside of me can do it, well, now what? Now, what do I do? It's like, what are my options now? I've tried everything. So this dark night of the soul sets in, this desperate, where do I go? What do I do? Like, where do I turn? Because again, the feeling of this not okay feeling is so intolerable. Like my hand is on the stove and everything I've done to move it, I can't. It's still on the damn stove. So like, now what? What do I do now? That is the moment of your spiritual journey, where you stop looking outward to people, places, and things to fix something on the inside of you. And you decide, if I'm going to get my hand off this stove, if I'm going to fix this not okay feeling, I can't go about it in those ways anymore. I'm done with that. I'm done seeking a partner to do this for me. I'm done putting pressure on them like that. I'm done demanding that they treat me in certain ways, and they got to text me when you got to text me, and you got to say happy, good morning to me every day, and you've got to be there, because otherwise I feel abandoned and I get triggered, and your job is to keep me from being triggered. No, you give up on all that crap. I'm not requiring my partners to take care of my emotional needs anymore. And I'm not looking to my career do it anymore. And I'm not looking to my health and beauty or my fame or my money. No, none of those things are going to do it for me. I have to go inward now. I have to begin to explore, is there a way to source my emotional needs from within? Is there a way for me to deal with my feeling unseen and not special? Is there a way for me to find that already here? Is there a way for me to give it to myself, for me to recognize that the whole thing has never been true in the first place? That is the beginning of your spiritual journey. When you quit looking to ways that you know now don't work and you're left with this emptiness, now what do I do? That's when you become spiritual. It's not when you see your baby born. It's not when you read a book. It's not when you saw a mountainside. It's not when you took a drug like psilocybin or magic mushrooms, you know, and ecstasy. You know, it's not when you went to church and you, no, it's the moment when you see, my whole life has been about this. My whole life has been about this. And it's not working. And it can't work. And it will never work. I don't need to try to paint the house better. I need to drop the hammer. That is just not going to work. I need to find something that does work. And that's when your spiritual journey begins. When you become truly open to an interior path. Are you there yet? Are you at the trailhead? Some of my listeners might not be. You might still be thinking, no, my version of golf, God, and girls, it's going to work. I'm going to make enough money. I'm going to be famous enough. I'm going to achieve enough. I'm going to whatever it is. I am going to fix my not okay feeling. I just haven't tried hard enough, or I just haven't worked hard enough, or I just haven't been at it long enough. And all I would say to you is look at people in the world that actually have what you want, and you tell me if they're happy. You tell me if they would tell you that there is no not okay feeling in them. Why don't you ask people that are billionaires? Because they have all the money in the world. I hear them talk on TV. I hear them going through divorces. I hear them having all kinds of problems. I hear them still wanting more money. It's never enough. Why is that? Because it's never enough because the money won't fix the feeling of I'm not valuable. See, that's what money is about, that. If I make enough money, finally I'll feel valuable. I'll feel their version of special. So once you get enough money to take care of you and your family for generations, why do you still want to make more? It's because you know on some level it's not fixing it. So I guess I just need more money. So you want to chase money? Look at wealthy people. They're not where you think you will be if you got that kind of money. Look at people who have these massive followings online, or they're beautiful people. Look at people who have all these successful careers. They're still chasing it. They're still using Botox. They're still getting cosmetic surgery. They got to stay beautiful. What you'll notice is they have what you want, what you think will fix that not okay feeling. They have it. They've, quote, arrived, and they're still chasing it. It really hasn't done it. Are you going to be more beautiful than what? Was it Charlize Theron, right? Are you going to be better looking than Adam Levine? You're going to be more famous than, who's the person with the most followers online? I don't even know because I don't even care. But you see what I'm saying? So your spiritual journey begins when you have this horrible realization that it's never going to work. Everything I've been doing, it's never going to work. Now what? When you hit that point of now what, you're really ready for the rest of this series. And next week, we're going to take, now that you've entered the trailhead and you're on the trail, I'm going to take you by the hand and we're going to go off toward the summit. And until then, bye-bye.
You've been listening to Attracting Lasting Love with Roy Biancalana. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. And while you're at it, please leave a rating and review and share it with anyone you think might benefit from listening. Check out our website at coachingwithroy.com and tune in every week for more insights and wisdom on creating healthy, lasting, conscious relationships.